So going down, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're looking at verse 22, so you flip there. And put the title, you put the slide up there, Home, God's Order of Operation. And today, it's going to be a series of two or three, and we're going to look today at understanding submission in the home. That's the theme here. Order of Operation. In math, there are many operations, such as addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. And I'll take a minute. How many of y'all like math in school? No, how many were good at math? Okay. How many were not good at math? Okay. Then that tells me who liked it, who didn't. If you were good at math, you liked it. And if you wasn't good, you didn't like it. Okay. And, math though, the expression are called operation. And in some problem, the only operation is addition or subtraction and multiplication, and you'll solve them problems. I'm by no means an expert at math myself, but and the way you solve it is from left to right, okay? But if the expression has multiple operations, then we need to follow an order of operation, okay? Now, this is just off a website. I Google order of operation. This could be wrong. So if it is, you can tell me. It probably is. I don't know. I'm getting along. But I do know you do your parentheses first. If you have a problem, you have parentheses, and it says do that first. And I think I remember that in school. And then it has your exponents, which I wasn't sure what still not sure what exponent is. I think I know. I look, but I'm not going to try to tell you because I ain't 100% sure, but you do your exponents. Then you do the multiplication and division. Then you do addition and subtraction, okay? And then you do that in that order of operation. Now, why do you do that? Well, because that's the rules, and it has to be an operation, an order of operation to get the right answer, okay? And many times, you can do what you want, but it's not going to be the right answer, or the right outcome, I should say. Well, when it comes to the home, you're not just dealing with one person. In a home, most of the time you're dealing with a couple, at least a husband and a wife. And in many times, in that home, there's children. So God has given us an order of an operation for each family member to follow. When this order of operation isn't followed, the outcome is not what it needs to be. Just like a math problem, when one or more of the operations are not followed, the results are not right. When you see an addition sign, but you subtract, then the answer is wrong. When one of the family members, or more than one, do not follow the God-given order of operation, then there's a problem. It's not a good outcome. This week, and I know next week, we're going to dive into God's order of operation for, you can say, marriage or the home. In chapter 6, we'll see the order of operation for a child. You see that children obey your parents. God has given us an order of operation. In simple, the husband is to be the head and is to submit to God and love his wife. Okay, that's very key. Okay, to love his wife and lead. Okay, the wife is to submit to the husband and follow. And children are to obey. There are many marriages that are destroyed because the husband isn't submitting to Christ. Okay, sometimes we leave that part out. No, there are a lot of marriages that are not what they need to be or destroyed because the husband isn't submitting to Christ and leading. There are marriages that are destroyed because the husband isn't loving his wife. There are marriages that are destroyed because the wife won't follow. It's sad to me to see the absence of male leadership in the home. And there's really two problems. Many men don't want to lead. Many men do not want to lead. That's sad. It's a sad picture when there's a husband, a man, who will not take leadership and won't lead. But the reality, there's some, in some homes, the wife won't let them lead. That's sad as well. So the first order of operation that we're going to look at is the wife submitting to the husband. Now, I know the society we live in. And by the way, if you're not married, don't turn off, for the first point is going to apply to everyone. You'll see what I mean. So don't tune out. I know the attitude of a lot of wives, saved and unsaved. I know that even in church, that these verses are not popular, but the reason they're not popular is we're not taking them in their full context. And I think what happens is that reading, and I understand, because men and women both have made mistakes, we want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's nothing wrong with the verses that we're fixing to read. They're good, and if they're followed correctly, from verses 22 down to 33, it's a great picture of what it's going to be. The problem is the rules are not flawed, we're flawed. That's the problem. We want to get mad at the order of operation because we don't follow the order of operation. None of us, a lot of times. I know the society we live in. And I know because of sin and because some husbands have not been Christ-like and because some husbands have not loved their wife, this saying that sounds like a bad thing. But the reality is if a husband is loving and following Christ the way he should, then the wife has nothing to fear. Anyway, we're not going to shy away from this topic, nor am I going to be apologetic, because this is God's order of operation. The operation, to have a godly home, there has to be love and submission. They're vital to have a godly home. So this morning, we're going to look at the first of God's operation, that is submission. Look with me in verse 21. Let's go back to verse 21, because I'm going to incorporate that into today's sermon. And it says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife, and even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husbands in everything. And next week, I'm going to add this where you'll know. And next week, we'll look at verse 25. Husband, love your wives even as Christ has loved the church. Let's pray. Father, I ask for the next few minutes to be with us. Lord, I pray this morning, I pray in this sanctuary, Lord, that you would fill this place. Lord, and I pray for specific people. And Lord, I ask you to be with each one of us today as we look at your word, and Lord, I ask you now to do that. Help me preach with power. Lord, and I ask you that even today, the home is under attack. And this is just one aspect of the home, Lord. But Lord, this needs to be preached, and this is why our country is in the way it is, that the home has been under attack, and not just under attack, it's been destroyed in so many people's homes. Lord, it's been destroyed, and Lord, people are not following the order of operation. Lord, I ask you to help us, Lord, to listen and to grow and to apply this to our lives today. And Lord, be with us in Christ's name. Amen. First fact that we need to learn is that submission is universal. Letter A here is a mandate for all, okay? And we start studying it, we have to look at it like this. It's a mandate for all. Yeah, in the context, And it is for wives. There's no doubt. Verse 22 says, wives, submit unto yourself your own husband. You can go to 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, And I believe even in Colossians, it says the same thing. There's no doubt. Don't get me wrong. That is the immediate content. But submission is for all of us. Submission is also for the husband. And now, if you are here, I think my first book, I preached through James, and then I preached through 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, I actually, Brother Darrell, was able to use my own research for this research, okay? I like that. I was able to copy and paste. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, and unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered, okay? I said in that sermon, John also said this about that verse. Submission is the responsibility of a Christian husband as well. Then he referred to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, and it says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. This is a universal principle of submission. It means that I am supposed to have a submissive, subjective spirit to Brother Howard and Brother Darrell and Brother Sonny and Brother Owen. That's what it's talking about. Well, if that applies to them, then you know that in general, this also applies to husband submitting to their wives. And in 1 Peter, we come to this conclusion about submission. So you say, then, Brother Will, then what do we do? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give it to you. Ready? In a nutshell, wives are to submit to the choices of the husband. Husbands are to submit to the needs of the wife. That's what we learn in 1 Peter chapter 3. Is that submission goes both ways, and just what are we submitting to? I'm supposed to look at my wife back there, and I'm supposed to study her and know her. And I use the illustration, I think even when I preach this, is that I'm the one who gets to make the decision where we go out to eat, Brother Sonny. I'm the head. She's supposed to listen to that. But I am supposed to be loving her and knowing her and studying her, and I know what her needs are. And I should say her need, and she needs pizza tonight. Then I submit to that need, and then when I say, hey, let's go eat pizza, she has no problem with that. That's how it's really supposed to work. Now, that doesn't mean there's no going to be any disagreement, but that's an analogy of what it means. We, as the husband, we are to lead, and she's supposed to follow the choices, but I'm supposed to be looking at her and say, what does she need? What is this and that? That is how it's supposed to be, okay? So what my point is for all. Submission is for all. So the idea that submission is a one-way street in a marriage is not actually biblical. But submission is for others as well. It's for children. It's for churches. It's for company. You can't run a company if you're not submission. Subjection. Someone has to be the boss. People have to listen. People have to follow. The boss comes out and said, we're going to start work at 8 o'clock in the morning. You have to subject to that, or the business is not going to run. Even citizens, we ought to submit. And Christ even submitted to the Father. We dispel the notion that submission is bad. It also dispels the notion that submission makes you less of a person, because Christ was 100% God, and he submitted to God the Father. Yet he didn't become less of a God, did he? No, because submission does not diminish who you are. Okay? That's just the devil's tactic to destroy whatever you're involved in. Submission is an action that everyone should do. Submission needs to be practiced in the life of a believer. It's universal for all time. Not just with marriage or the home, but when we're out. I said this last week. Being in subjection one to another is the ideal, even your rights. That you have a right to give your opinion. You have a right to spout off. You have the right to roll your eyes. You have the right to do all these things. But should you? Because we're more concerned about us. Even that submission. When we go out, when someone mistreats us, we should submit. But like, you know what? I'm going to love them anyway. Essentially, you're submitting to God. Submission is for all of us. Submission not only is a mandate, it is a manifestation of godliness. That's letter B here. It's a manifestation of godliness. You find me somebody that won't submit, in just in general, if you're somebody that works somewhere and you won't submit to your boss, you won't, if you won't submit in your marriage, and you won't submit to the leadership of whatever it is, I'll tell you somebody who's not walking with God like they need to. You say, what do you mean? Well, we talked about it last week, but don't you remember? Verse 21, submitting yourself one to another. You know, what is that? Those who are filled with the Spirit. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we talked about last week that being filled means being controlled. Because when you get saved, you have the Spirit in you. But the idea we went in depth last week about it being controlled by the Spirit. And if you're being controlled by the Spirit, then you're going to have a submissive spirit. And I gave that illustration of when someone doesn't do what you want, and you happen to wait, and you want to get all huffy and puffy, and you got to tell them what you think. No, that's being rude, and you're not submitting to maybe what's going on in their life. You're more concerned about yourself. Hey, if you don't, if you, it's probably because being spirit controlled means you're going to have a production of submission. But then look here in verse 21. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. John MacArthur said this, the believer's continuance reverence for God is the foundation for his submission to other people. Submission is a product of your walk and understanding of God and what he desires, even me as your pastor. It's the understanding of when you're at home, who's in charge, who's the head, when you're at work. And it's telling you, understanding, now, hey, I have to be a submissive person to this authority because I walk with God. So I can give a direct correlation with submission and respect for God. Wives, you will manifest submission when you respect God. Okay, so I'm not going to sidestep this. I'm not going to do, the content is to the wives now. And so let me say this, submission is a spiritual quality. Submission happens not when your husband acts a certain way, but it happens when you realize what God wants. Just like at work, it's the same difference. I mean, we'll get that in a minute, but just like work, I'm in jobs and people and bosses I didn't care for, but I did what I was supposed to, not essentially because of that ball, because I knew that's what God wanted. Same thing. And why, if you're waiting for your husband to earn it, you are wrong, and you never will show submission, because that's not the source of submission. Submission for the wife, submission to the husband is not sort and what the husband does. Now, the source of submission is spirituality. Spiritual godliness. Because submission is sort in the foundation of submission for everyone, but especially in the home, and I'm submitting because this is what God wants me to do. It's a walk with God. It's a spiritual, it's a godliness. If you wait for your husband, boss, whoever, to do what they should or what you think they should, then you will always be waiting and you will never submit. You won't submit due to what they do. You submit because of what thus saith the Lord. That's really it in a nutshell. If that's for anybody, submission will only come because you understand thus saith the Lord, not thus what he does or what he doesn't do. True. And a person and the only person that is going to do thus saith the Lord is a godly person. I mean, even now, I can do a lot of things, but any organization, whether it's church, the pastor, whether it's at work with the boss, whether it's at home with the husband, whether it's anything, submission is only going to be done by people who are godly, because they're the only ones that care about what thus says the Lord. Bottom line. So what am I pointing? Submission is for all, but submission is a manifestation of godliness. It's not a reward for doing right. That's the thing that happens. Well, I'm going to submit to you, boss, because you did what was right. I'll do what you said because you gave me a raise. That's not, submission is not a product or a reward for doing right. Submission is knowing, hey, I'm going to obey what God said. So as we move forward, submission is for all. Submission will happen when you're godly. If you find yourself struggling to submit, look inside. It's a spiritual problem. That applies to husband, that applies to wife, that applies to co-worker, that applies to church member, that applies to all of them. And if you find yourself struggling to submit to who you're supposed to be submitting to the authority, is a spiritual problem. Submission is universal. Secondly, submission is unifying. Look at verse 22. Well, first, let's look at letter A. The desires of the home. You know, if I were to ask you, what's your desires of your home? Most would say things like this. Peace, love, happiness, joy, unity, laughter, having a good time, stability, all these things. That's the desires of most people's home. What will be here is the division of the home. See, there's some comforts. There's some things that can divide a marriage. There's a thing in the home that show up. It will kill peace. It'll kill love. It'll kill happiness. It'll kill joy. It'll throw unity out the window. And it's there. It's an unloving husband that won't lead and a wife who refuses to submit to the leadership of the husband. And I'll say it again. You want to destroy peace, happiness, unity? There's two culprits. Ready? An unloving husband that won't lead and a wife who won't follow and submit. You get either one of them things in a home. The home isn't going to be what it needs to be. Now, all you're looking at is a blank stare. Because I guess we're too scared to say this now, even in church. But that's God's order. And when them two things are not in the home, there's going to be division in the home. You may have some husbands who will love their wife, but they won't lead. And especially spiritually. It's a sad testimony. But it's also just as damaging and sad to have a wife who refuses to follow the husband's leadership. The husband needs to lead. The husband needs to love. There's a book that I mentioned this last time when I preached on this. It's called Love and Respect. And the premise of the book is this. I might get some eye rolls here. So, look at chapter 5, verse 33. This is the premise of this book. And I'm not going to preach too much on this because we're going to get to it later. But it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Okay, so the husband shall love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence, that's the ideal respect, her husband. So the premise of the book is based on this verse, and it goes into psychology and all of this. It goes deeper than just this verse. But it talks about that what women want more than anything is love. And what men want, and the one thing that men can't live, wives and women can't live without love. But men can't live without respect. That's the premise of the book, which is why God said, husband, love your wife, wife, respect your husbands. Okay? And it says that wives have to have love, and men and husbands have to have respect, which is why they say, hey, wives, submit to your husbands. There's nothing that will divide and destroy a marriage more than that. A husband not loving and a wife not respecting and submitting. And I told you the book talked about this, that, you know, the Rickland Franklin song, Respect, it was written by a man. I can put up with a lot of things for the moment, as long as I have respect, right? I mean, me and you might not agree, but if we can respect each other, If we disagree, we might not even like each other. But if I have respect, then we can get along. And it's true. It's true. And man, if you don't know, you'll find yourself dodging people who don't respect you. Men rather be respected than loved. And women rather be loved. They did a study on that. Women, and they said, when you have the most women overall peak, they rather be loved than respected. And men said, I'd rather be respected than loved. You said, what are you getting at? Submission is vital to unity. So see, we're on this part. We're going to talk about love next week, but we're on this part today. Submission is vital. Someone has to be in charge, and someone has to follow. We understand that, right, Brother Mike? You know, I mean, Eastman understands that. Domitart understands that. Food City understands that. Why? Because they all have supervisors and bosses, right? We have employees. In some places, they wear different colored shirts. We understand that for anything to run smoothly, any organization, there has to be a leader. There has to be someone who's in charge and someone who is following. Here's what I don't understand. Why do we reject that in the home? Why do we reject that? There's always going to be a problem when people who's in charge won't lead. And there's a problem when people who are to follow don't follow. The same is true in marriage. The husband is to lead, and the wife is to follow. And to me, it's sad to see a husband not being the leader, and it's sad to see a wife who won't let him. It's sad, because that's the only way unity will be achieved. I mean, go to watch a football team. If there's not submission to the coach, and they're not submission to one another, they're not going to have unity. Why, that's not that hard to understand. But I can even see today, even the vibe in here. It is. But it's true. We see the desires in the home. We see the division in the home. Now we see, let us see, the duty of the wife. And the problem is we understand this principle. We don't, beyond with you, we don't like what God said. I mean, I don't really know why God said for the husband to be the head. I do, but not really. But it's what he said. Now, here is the duty of the wife. He said in verse 22, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband and unto the Lord. That submission means to place yourself under. And to place yourself under. I'll give you an example. I help Brother Sonny here cut grass. And he cuts grass, got a bunch of yards. And he's technically my boss, Brother Darryl. So if he asks me a question, do you think we should do this or that? You know what I say? Well, whatever you want to do. That's it. Why? Because I recognize that he's in charge and I even put myself under him. And we get along most of the time, don't we? Most of all the time. You know, that's how it's supposed to be. Somebody has to be in charge and someone has to follow. That's just how it won't work any other way. It won't. And you have, you know, all it is saying, I'm going to place myself under. And in this case, it's God given that the husband is the authority and I'm supposed to be the leader and the wife is supposed to place herself under. And by the way, this is a voluntary thing, wives. And I'm studying the word submit here and it says, moreover, submission is to be voluntary. From the form of the Greek verb, it's not a command as much as an earnest appeal. The wife's submission then is not something forced on her by a demanding husband. It is a deference that a loving wife consciously and gladly submits to her husband. By the way, you're not going to make anybody follow you. You're not going to make anybody submit. It has to be a voluntary thing. You have to place yourself under. It's a voluntary thing. It's a thing that says, hey, I know, in whatever situation, I know and get what God wants. And that's what I'm going to do. And it's in the content, in the home, and saying, hey, God has made the husband the leader. And I'm going to place myself under, not because he's making me, but because that's how it's supposed to be, and common sense tells us you gotta have someone to follow. You can only have, when you play follow the leader, you can only have one leader. I mean, you know, that's it. And God ordained your husband to be the leader. That's it. Husband, you can't make your wife submit. You're not going, it's not going to happen. And something she decides to do voluntarily, saying, I'm going to follow my husband. By the way, wives, I read this, wives, you will speak volumes to your husband and he will feel respected and in return will be more loving. It's a cycle. So we see here the authority. This is the duty. This duty is to God. So look at me. He says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. See, wives, you submit to your husband. It's not so much a duty to them or to him, but to God. When you wake up in the morning, you're not submitting to your husband because my husband said I have to submit. No, you're submitting because you're submitting to what God said. God said unto the Lord. The wife's duty is to submit to the husband's leadership. For there to be unity in a marriage, there has to be love and submission. The wife in the marriage has been given the duty to submit to the husband. Next week, we'll talk about the other ingredient, love. But for now, the message is to have unity in the marriage. There has to be submission. And that is to be on the part of the wife when it comes to the choices in the family. If you have a problem with that, you have a problem with God. That's the bottom line. Dude, thank you. Somebody prayed off the amen. Thank you. You have a problem with God. Wives, you have to choose to do that. Not because your husband earns or deserves it, but because that's what God wants you to do. And you say, well, what about an abusive relationship? That's common sense, okay? We're not talking about the special on the other table. We're talking about in a biblical marriage, this is what you're supposed to do, okay? Yeah, there are situations that are totally, that doesn't apply. When someone's life is in jeopardy, common sense kicks in. Dr. Randy Cox said, God give us sanctified common sense, okay? I'm not talking about that today. We always want to take the one exception, then use that to not do it. No, the rule is, wives, you are to choose to submit to your husband, not because they deserve it or have earned it, but because that's what God wants you to do. Submission is universal. And by the way, when you do that, it's going to unify. Submission is unifying. And then number three, submission is understandable. Verse 23, letter A here is God's authorization for the home. Now, the problem is that it doesn't seem like it's very popular, and almost like people want to add, like, well, I don't really know what God's talking about. Yeah, I can tell you. What right here in these next two verses is very understandable. God, here's the authority in the home. The husband, it says here, for the husband is the head of the wife. That's pretty understandable. We don't have to really flesh that out. It means this. It means the husband is to be the leader. As head, the husband is the leader of the home and has the primary responsibility of making provision and giving directions. Uh-oh. Not just they'll provide, they'll give direction. By the way, the husband needs to be involved. It's a sad testimony of a husband to be clueless about the family affairs. It's a sad testimony for a husband not to have a clue about the child's homework and about what's going on in their life and what the wife and what the calendar has on it. A husband should be involved. You should be the leader. You should not boss everybody around, but you should be involved and committed and knowing of what is going on. It's sad when the husband, who is the leader, is complacent, has a complacent attitude. Bottom line is, the husband in the family, he's supposed to be the captain. He's responsible to care and protect his family. He's supposed to lead. His wives are to let him lead. And not only let him, help him lead. Because he had a big responsibility. That's a big responsibility, which sadly, many husbands don't take seriously. In a family, the husband is to be in charge. He has the God-given authority. There has to be a leader. There has to be a quarterback to say. And in the family, the husband is the quarterback. And that's very understandable. There's nothing that's fuzzy or gray about that. The problem, you know what the problem is? We got a lot of husbands who don't want to lead. We got a lot of wives who don't want them leading. It's both, they're both the problem. There's a lot of husbands who don't want, there's a lot of husbands that don't want to take the responsibility that God's told them to do. And here's the analogy. Christ, just as, and even as Christ is the head of the church and the savior of the body. Hey, he used an analogy as Christ as the head. So, men, I'm going to get on you now. Husbands, as Christ. That means that the husband should provide and protect, preserve, love, and lead his wife and children as Christ cared for the church. Husband, it sounds good to be the leader until now, right? We have a big task. We have a big task. The problem is men think that being the head means you're telling them what to do, and the wife thinks submitting is just following the husband and what they say. But it's so much more than that. The husband needs to lead and care and nurture and provide and sacrifice and put his needs last. But that's what Christ would do. That's a big task. Hey, you need to take it seriously. Husband, we have an important and big task, an important task. Leading our family, which, by the way, is an honor. I think the problem in America now, we've got this idea that being a family man is no, it's an honor. The most important thing you do the day you die is know that you are a family man and you lend your family. You know, it's much more important than any hobby or any accomplishment in making any money, and that you are a true man, is a man who is honoring the lead his family and wanting to be with his family and loves his family. What an honor. Probably being a family man is looked down upon. You've lost your freedom. No, what an honor. What an honor. Yeah, and it takes sacrifice, yeah. But what an honor. You know, if all I do is lead my wife and lead Willow, what an honor. What an honor. If I don't ever catch another fish, it's okay. What an honor. But I don't think that's the average husband's attitude. What a shame. What a shame. I told my dad yesterday, my uncle, I'm trying to commit suicide last week. And that we've been praying for him. We was talking about the whole situation. And I said, the only good thing is because you got saved, you didn't follow in them footsteps. And I'm standing here because of my dad. He got something to be proud of. I know not much, but he got something to be proud of. Me and my sister both love God and live for God. Not perfect. He passed on something that's more important. He passed on a spiritual heritage. And that baby back there has got a chance and not going to have at least a good foundation. She might have to make her own choices, but she's got to have a good foundation, hopefully, because of my dad's decision. Because I wouldn't be living for God. My mom had a lot of credit, too. But like I said, I probably wouldn't be here. Probably wouldn't be a Christian if it wasn't for my dad being a Christian. And I probably wouldn't be in ministry if my dad hadn't looked at me when I was in college and said, I'm proud of you. In top words. And said, I'm behind you. When I went to move to North Carolina to work at a job making no money, to be honest with you. At the end of the week, I had $20 left to spend, basically. I said, I'm proud of you. It's an honor. Husband, it's an honor. Forget about all the other stuff. It's just vanity. The Bible says, pass on wisdom. It's far more precious than rubies and gold. Me spending my Saturday with my child is much more valuable and leading them on the right path than going fishing. Don't even hold a candle to it. It's an honor. So with that being said, husband, you are in charge. You are the God-appointed leader. To be a leader, you can't be lazy and selfish and worldly, husbands. We have to be working, sacrificing, and godly. Loving your wife with everything you have and then some. Just as the wife is to follow the husband and love at all time, it's a big task. Don't get me wrong. There are some homes that are not what they need to be because the wife is not submitting. But I'm afraid many homes are not what they need to be because of a selfish, spiritually lazy husband who cares more about TV, hobby, and work than his wife and children spiritually, spiritual and emotional need. What a shame. What a shame, husbands. What a shame. No wonder the wife don't want to follow. What a shame. Husbands, you are the head. That's God's authorization for the home. Now let's look at the expectation. Let us see the expectation for the wife. It says in verse 24, again, very understandable. There's nothing, he doesn't mix words. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husband in everything. Wives, your allegiance need to be to your husband. Not your mother, not your kid, not your dad or mom, or your best friend. I mean, there's a lot of wives who they respect and will listen to other people more than their husbands. And it's a cycle. Don't get me wrong, there's some husbands that it'd be hard to respect them. I mean, but both sides are wrong. You need to start following your husband. Some of you need to care more about what your husband wants than letting your kids run the show. You need to care more about what your husband wants than what your friends want. God's expectation is for wives to be in subjection to their husband. What's funny and sad, and I've said it already, is that most men don't want to lead, and most women don't really want that either. There's a lot of men sitting here like, and all over churches right now, man, I gotta start leading. And there's a lot of wives sitting there saying, whew, I hope he don't take this message seriously. True. You know why? I got right here. Not here, but here's why. Because the devil's got you deceived. The devil's got you deceived, husband, thinking that leading is a boring job and it's a pointless job and it's not fun and it's not adventurous. I like to be adventurous. And wives, he got you thinking that well, follow my husband. That's just ancient. That's just the old school. He got us deceived. Which, by the way, it's not working the other way, is it? Homes are being destroyed every day. I mean, one of the biggest issues with teenagers is they don't have a dad in the home. Well, why is that? Well, because they got kicked out. They left. Either one. Due to sin. Due to this philosophy that it is a big deal. It is a big deal. That is God's expectation. God has commanded husbands to lead and for wives to follow. John MacArthur said this, to follow God's plan for the family, not only is pleasing to Him, but is the only way to godlier, happier, and more secure homes. His plan is neither the exaltation of man and the suppression of women, nor in the exaltation of women and the suppression of men, but for the perfection and fulfillment of both man and woman as He and ordained them to be. Whether you like it or not, husbands, you may not want to lead, but you've been ordained to lead, and wives, you've been ordained by God to follow. There's nothing that can't be understood about that. The problem, we understand it just fine. We just don't want to do it. You know why? Because it takes work from both parts. I mean, to be a leader that you're supposed to be is hard work. To be a godly leader is hard work. And to be a godly follower is hard work. It's a lot of work. It is. But that's God's plan. That is God's ordained structure. That is the order of operation for the family. The devil had the world deceived, and I'm afraid that he has the church deceived too. Here it is, God's order of operation for this week. It's really the husband is to lead and the wife is to follow. That's it. That's it. And I'm not going to apologize for that, because that's what the Bible teaches. And then obviously a lot of variables go with that. Don't get me wrong. That's it. That's God's order of operation. And we'll talk next week about the husband order of operation. Don't get me wrong. We will. But that's the verse 22 through 24. That is the order of operation for the husband to lead and the wife to follow. And we stand at our feet and Miss Brenda comes to play a song of invitation. I know that this is more of a specific sermon to the home and to women, but I feel like I've preached some things that the husband needs to hear as well. Let me ask you, first thing, let me say, husbands, does your wife want to follow but can't because you won't get off the couch and lead? Does she want to read Bible with the family but she won't take the Bible and open it up? Does she want to pray together but you won't do it? Hey, you need to lead. Hey, wives, are you following? Are you following? Hey, even if you say, well, maybe today your problem is just submission in general. Hey, let me tell you, submission is a spiritual quality. We talked about it last week at the end, and we talked about it at the end of the day, and you begin to play. Submission is a spiritual quality. Maybe you just have an unsubmissive spirit. Just in general. Hey, you have a spiritual problem. You have a spiritual problem. And she plays with God and spoke to you. Hey, maybe you should come down here and repent. Maybe you should ask God to forgive you. Maybe husband, maybe you should come down here and say, Lord, I know, by the way, it's sad that most people who come to the altar is women. You know? I think only about really one man ever comes to the altar. It's sad that women are the only ones at the altar. That's a problem, man. We need to be at the altar. Maybe you're a husband, and maybe today I talk about being a leader. Maybe you're not being a leader. Hey, you need to lead the right way.